Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Geek Parent, connecting modern parenting and today's nerdy generation.
Break it down one time.
And he's up there and he's in the zone.
We educate and entertain parents through board games, video games, tech discoveries, and STEM education. Inspiring a new generation starts now.
Welcome to the Geek Parent Radio, where we focus on the new generation of smart, frugal, and trendy digital parents. I am your geeky host, Kat Mahoney.
And I'm Josh Hostetler.
And we'll be with you for the next 30 to 40 minutes, I think. We extended another 10 minutes this time, this episode, because Josh and I just talked way too much. But we need to discuss some of today's tech, gadgets, education, discoveries, and parenting in the digital age.
And if at any time during the show you'd like to ask questions or request a topic, you can email the station at onair@thegeekparent.com or join us in the chat room from our podcast site. And be sure to stop over and like us on Facebook or subscribe to us on Twitter via our website at thegeekparent.com.
And, Josh, you know I'm in Pennsylvania. So
Yes, I did hear that.
I don't know about you, but we've been hit really hard with the winter bug the past week. And, you know, I love snow. You're on my Facebook, and you see that I gloat about snow and how much I love it. But, oh, my gosh, the freezing cold with the stinging wind. Seriously, they like, kill my mood. Are you enjoying this winter? You're what?
That would
Indiana,
be,
right?
I am in Indiana, yes. We get a lot of the lake effect snow. So on top of the bitter cold, we get the tons and tons and tons of fluffy, heavy snow.
And see, you know, I've been traveled around, and I've pretty much lived mostly in the western, southern west areas, Arkansas, you know, New Mexico. So we didn't get hit with a lot of snow during the times that I've lived there, but we're getting hit pretty hard, and now I'm not regretting it. You know, because I'm a pretty positive person. I look for the good in everything. Like, the view from my window is just, it's beyond words. It's just absolutely beautiful because you can see the Pennsylvania mountains and you can see the view of the valley with the snow covering it like a blanket of soft cotton. I mean, it's just, you know, one of those picture-perfect views, and it's gorgeous. So, you know, when the sun comes out, it's a total American beauty. So sometimes, you know, I tend to suck it up, and I tell a lot of people, hey, it's wintertime, it's beautiful, and I think I'm a minority here, but suck it up, really.
Let it go.
Okay.
Yes, I think I've heard that song quite a bit here the last few weeks with my daughter.
Exactly, mine too. But, you know, so just speaking of the winter, I step outside and I'm like, whoa, whoever pissed Elsa off, go apologize, because this weather is painful. It's real painful.
Well, I haven't seen a giant living snowman attacking me yet, although from the look of the gusts, it could have been, but I'm not quite there.
You know, I think it makes it even worse every time my daughter plays that song, and you can see it in my face when it's freezing out, and she goes to play it, and I'm like, no, not today. But speaking of winter, did you know that, and you probably know this, but a lot of people don't, that tech gadgets can actually take a pretty bad winter beating. mean, we're talking like cracked screens, drained batteries, water damage. Those are just kind of the few problems that I've been hearing about with smartphones, tablets, and laptops when it's in this type of weather. And a lot of people, I think, you know, they get in their car and they get stuck in traffic or you see some of those, what was it, a couple of weeks ago where they had some traffic, I believe up in Michigan, they were there for 2 days or something, and so they sat in their cars and they were trying to get out of that, but they had their laptops and everything, and they were wondering why they were dying so fast. I mean, did you realize that? Yeah, and I think a lot of people don't realize that when tech gets chilly, a simple tap could even shatter the screen. It's really kind of a something that a lot of people don't think about because they grab their gadgets and they text away and they don't think about how the weather actually can affect the gadget. So fear not, mighty geeks. The International Business Times has a few tips to keep your phone and your tablets and computers running smoothly despite the rigid weather. So let's talk about one of those. We're going to kind of this I guess I don't really do a lot of these, and I should, but limit the outside use of your phone or tablet in the cold temperature. And I am known for taking my tablets and my phones out when I go outside because it's beautiful, and I always have to take pictures. So I always have that outside. But if you won't be needing your phone while you're outside, consider leaving it inside. And if you absolutely must have it with you, keep it in your pocket real close to your body because your body temperature actually helps keep the device at a normal temperature. So that's actually a really good advice from the International Business Times. And they also said to put it in a case. Now, do you keep your stuff in a case, your smartphones, Josh?
I have an iPhone, and I just have one of Apple's cases. Now, I usually keep it in a case. I've been a early convert, so the first phone was not in a case, and it took quite a beating, but it was the very first generation, so it was all right.
Right.
But they're all in cases now.
Right. And that, you know, when I got my kids their phones, I immediately put them in those heavy military-grade cases because, you know, kids, I'm afraid they're going to drop them and everything, and they were kind of expensive, but I actually don't have one because I have the LG G3, the Android, and there's not a lot of cases out for that yet that are really protective military grade. I mean, iPhone has a lot of them because they've been around for a while, so a lot of companies are making them. But this one, they just don't have it, so it's kind of a thin case, and it's not waterproof. So I get really scared sometimes, like the snow out there, and I'm afraid I'm going to drop it in the snow, and then it gets water into it and everything. So I think that's a great idea to put it in a case as well, especially a waterproof type case. And I know my kids have a lot of those gloves that have the touch screen where they can leave their gloves on.
Yes.
Yeah, so they have those. But I'm guilty of not putting a case like that on mine. But, again, they don't have cases like that for my LG G3. But another good advice was that they said not to leave a phone, tablet, or laptop in the car overnight. Now, I don't know many geeks who leave their gadgets in the car overnight because personally for me, I'll come inside and I'll freak out if I left my phone in the car. So
if it's not in my pocket, I'm searching wherever I left it last.
Exactly. You know, and in this, you know, tech age where everybody has to have their gadgets at their fingertips, I don't think that's too much of an issue. But there have been times where my kids, you know, they'll run inside, drop their stuff off, and jump on the Xbox or the PS4, and then probably 5 hours later they'll say, "Oh my gosh, I forgot my phone out in the car." So I can see where that might happen every now and then, but that's one thing that I always let them know. Don't leave your phones or your tablets or anything like that in the car, because below freezing temperatures can freeze the liquid in your LCD screens, causing your screen to burst, among other permanent internal and external damage, of course. And if you're anything like me, I didn't get the extended warranty the first time on my iPhone, and I was kind of out of luck when I dropped my phone into the toilet at Disney World. And we'll save that one for another conversation. So that was that, you know, that again, let's not leave that overnight. And then charge your phone before you leave to head out. I actually tell my husband this all the time because he drives to and from work an hour. And with this type of weather, I'm always afraid that he's not going to have the phone on him. And yeah. If he gets stuck, I'm afraid that I won't be able to, you know, get in contact with him. Not that I would personally leave to go rescue his butt. But
you could at least call somebody.
But at least you could call. Exactly. So
see, we have the Find Your Friends app. That way you can kind of keep track of them.
See, that works out wonderful.
Especially in this weather.
Wonderful. Exactly, especially in this weather, isn't it? Unless, of course, that doesn't work if you have it off, though, does it?
If the phone is off, no, it does not work.
Right. And that would be my oldest son. He has a tendency to not charge his phone. So a lot of times he'll say, oh, my phone died, though. I didn't get your message, or I didn't get your phone call. And so I'm on that training mechanism with my teen that if he's going to have a phone, he has to be responsible with it. And that, you know, obviously if you're a parent and you're paying for this, the whole reason you're paying for it is to make sure that you can get in contact with them. And if they're not being responsible enough, then obviously there's going to be some issues with that. So I'm kind of working with him because I think that Find My Phone app is really good. I think is that for just the Apple, or is it for the Android as well?
Well, the Find My Phone, I believe, is just Apple to Apple, but I'm sure there's some other apps that we could find and discuss in the weeks to come.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that's a great discussion later on, probably in the next month or so, talking about that, because that's real important for parents to be able to find their kids. That was just my couple of sense on finding, you know, your winter protection from the cold and being prepared for this type of weather. And we are on to App of the Week. Josh, what do you have for us?
Well, the App of the Week that I found is called Metamorphabet. It's a little app. It does cost $3.99, but it's geared towards kids. The child basically teaches them the alphabet in certain words. You go through. It started off. I kind of played with it a little bit. My kids are a little too young for it. They say ages 3 to 5, but you go through and you would tap on the letter, and it does funny things. And the A grew antlers, and then it turned into like a set of legs, and it ambled along. What else did it do? And then the B did a couple things. It's a kind of cool little app that the kids can play with. Very easy. Teaches them things. Teaches them different words and the alphabet.
And it, you know, I had a look at the app as well, and it's really a beautiful app. I mean, they really put, you know, you get some of those apps that, okay, it does its thing. You know, you get that app and you're like, okay, all I wanted to do was a calendar, and it does its calendar. But this one is really, because kids, especially at younger age, are very visual, and
yes,
they love seeing pictures and bright colors and, you know, alphabets and animals and shapes and so forth. So this app really pops with the kids. I mean, the eye candy in this was just phenomenal. And I loved their website. It really kind of, it was more of along the lines of a child's type website, but it gave information for parents so that parents kind of understood that. And I'll tell you what, some of us parents, after dealing with business all day, you come back and you go to look up an app for your kids. You don't want a 5-page information about the app and security issues and what to do and how to install it and is it going to cost anything. So the website, which is Metamorphabet, that's MetamorphaBet.com, is lovely. It's just straight to the point, and it's got great eye candy for it. So now, you played this one, Josh, with your kids, or did you have your kids try this?
I don't have my kids for this week, so they didn't get. When she
and
plays her Navi. Go ahead.
Right, go ahead.
When she has her Navi, she's into Netflix. She doesn't do anything else on her Navi, a little Navi tablet. So I'm going to have them play it a little bit, but it's a little too young for them with her being in kindergarten already. She's and doing very well at reading. She's kind of gone past it, but it's a pretty cool little app.
I have to agree with you there. I think it's one of those apps that, you know, my kids aren't at that age anymore as well, but that's definitely something that I would have looked up and gotten for mine, because my nephew's 4, and he immediately took over my mother-in-law's iPad. And so he was constantly doing things on that. And in this day and age, it's definitely worth it to have your child get on an iPad at such a young age, or a tablet, whatever floats your boat as far as Android or iOS, and try these kids' apps that really will progress them in hand-eye coordination and as far as speech therapy. In fact, I have 2 children who are autistic, and when my son was younger, I had this Fisher-Price type keyboard that I would stick on the keyboard, and it would just have a couple of buttons for him to push, but they were real fat buttons so his little fingers could work it. And then it would flash colors and so forth up on the screen. And it really made a difference with the way that he became more articulate, in the way that he could identify things and colors as he reached school age. So I think apps like these are absolutely wonderful. And thank you very much, Josh, for letting us know about Metamorphabet. And we'll have that on our website for you to download or find out where you can get the app from.
I am Dungeon Master, your guide in the realm of Dungeons and Dragons.
And that's our cue for our board games of the week, if you are into tabletop board games, which I really hope you are, especially if you are a geek parent or you're hoping to become more of a geek parent in order to communicate better with your child or your children in that aspect. Because board
good
games are... It is. It really is. You do board games a lot with your family, don't you, Josh?
We the last one we played though was Star Wars Risk.
Nice.
Teaching my kids how to play that.
Right. I like that a lot too, because Risk is a very strategic game, and that strategy is a very good thing for kids to do. But this week you have a board game to tell us about. What board game is that?
Well, the board game this week, it's not out yet. It's on Kickstarter. It is funded. They are working on it. It's called Ghostbusters, the board game.
Ooh,
so finally.
Nice. Exactly. Now tell us, what is it about Ghostbusters that, now you said they're on Kickstarter. What's the whole object of it?
So you go through and you have all four characters, and it is has eight boards. They're like 6 or 7 8-inch by 8-inch boards. There's eight of them. You can make your own play levels, and you go through. You have to catch ghosts. You can also inadvertently release ghosts. So you kind of go through and you play it that way. It's okay. So I have it up. Let's see. You have all four characters. You have Stay Puft Marshmallow Man as a bad guy. You have Slimer. It looks really cool. It's slated for release for backers in October, so it is a little ways out. But it was, I saw it and I'm like, oh, yes, I got to get this game.
I think I do too. And if you're a parent from, you know, the earlier ages like us, then then Ghostbusters was a classic. I mean, that was probably one of my favorite movies back in the day. You know, sci-fi and ghosts and, you know, all that good stuff. Slimer, he was one of my favorites as well. And I think now is this cooperative, kind of like Pandemic,
it's
against
it? 1 to 4 players, and it is cooperative, and you're trying to, as a team, defeat these ghosts, and you go through, and it's kind of run the gambit of, it has ghosts from the movies, it has ghosts from the comic books, and it has ghosts from the cartoons.
And it's real, real colorful. I mean, the pieces aren't those typical, you know, just colored chips or, you know, pegs that you put in around the boards like Life or something, you know. So the pieces are pretty colorful, and they resemble the characters. They look almost exactly like the characters in the movie.
Yes, yes. And they go through, and since it is a Kickstarter, and anybody who's familiar with Kickstarter, you have different levels that you can pitch into them at. There's about 20 days to go left on this, and at certain ones you can actually get your own characters that they're painted, the plastic is just a gray, so you can actually paint them yourself.
Wait, you can paint these figures yourself?
If you pitch in and get the gray ones, yes, you can actually paint these characters yourself and make them look just as artistic as you want.
That is awesome. You know, it attracts, you know, the artists that do a lot of the Warhammer figures.
Yeah.
That the tabletop Warhammer, if our audience has ever played that game. But and some of these can be very detailed. It just, you can collect them. They're almost like collectibles, per se, if you are able to paint them yourself.
Yes, they basically would become collectibles. And honestly, the game itself, I could really see, if it wasn't for the price, I might buy two of them and keep one in the plastic wrap.
Right, exactly. And it has all four of the Ghostbusters characters.
Yes, it has all four of the characters. Right. You have an add-on that has a girl Ghostbuster. Janine. Oh, well, it's got Janine in it.
Oh, okay.
Not a girl,
that's
Ghostbuster,
the,
but it's got
secretary,
Janine.
Right?
Yes, but it does have her in Ghostbuster garb, I guess you could call it. She's
okay,
got the
right.
So it's got Gozer as a bad guy. It's mm-hmm. got the Zool. It's got Ecto-1 as an upgrade that's been unlocked, so you can get it.
This is just amazing, and it's a wonderful dedication to, I believe, Egon had passed away. Am I correct?
Spengler. Yes, I believe that's correct.
Yeah, he had passed away. I think it was last year. He had been fighting some health issues, and he had passed away. So it's a really good dedication for him as well to kind of get him in there and have him as part of that, because something to remember him by. Because he did a lot of different movies, and was behind the scenes a lot of times as well. So he is a very talented person. And just alone looking at this board game, I'm definitely going to get this, and we will have to put it on YouTube with a little rendition of us playing and kind of working together on how the game actually works. And if you are interested in backing the project, it has 20 days left to go, and they're already at 633,000. So get in on that and get yourself a piece of Ghostbusters the board game. It's going to be on our website, the link from www.thegeekparent.com, and we will definitely have to keep, you know, let us know if you get it, Josh, before me. Then you'll have to let me know how that game works out.
I will do that. I'll even get the soundtrack to play with it.
Oh, I see. You're gonna one up me as a geek. That'll work out nicely. We can play that on air. That'd be great. I actually have. It's an older type of. Well, it's an old classic board game. The board game Sorry. Have you ever played that?
Yes.
It's fairly, you know, simple. I think it was from the 1950s, or it was started in the 1950s, or around the time that Life, I believe, was created. Now, if you're a real geek into board games, and I got the dates mixed up, I apologize. So. Please don't spam me with the date mix-ups. But this one is not, it's not just Sorry. It's Sorry, Fire, and Ice. So when you're talking about the cold weather, this one actually can kind of heat up the game scene here. And we've actually had a lot of people question the board game because they received it as a holiday gift over Christmas time. And I had played it, I believe a couple months before that. And what it is, it takes the classic board game and turns it to pretty intense. So the new game has brighter colors and, you know, a few more tricks and techniques and so forth. And of course they have the fire and ice cards to either help or hinder you. So now on top of just the pawns you have these fire and ice cards. And in this new one, the objective is to still kind of stay the same, and you have to try to be the first player to get all your colors pawned in the home circle. Do you remember that, Josh?
Yes, I do.
So, there's only three pawns this time instead of four.
Okay.
And, so it's a little quicker, but there's, like I said, the fire and ice cards. Now, the fire card, it's a benefit to you because you place the fire ring around one of your pawns. If you get this card, you place the fire ring around one of your pawns, and at the beginning of your turn, you can move that pawn to the end of the board before taking your real turn. So you've just taken two turns. And, you have a benefit with the fire because you're kind of moving yourself pretty fast across the board with the fire. But if you gain the ice card, you place the ice ring around an opponent's pawn, and then she or he can't move that pawn until another ice card is drawn. So you pretty much remove their pawn from the board until they choose another. They actually get another ice card, and then they can remove that ring. So, you know, that it's kind of a cutthroat type Sorry game. And it can get pretty intense, but it offers a little more of a challenge.
So now, do they have to pick the ice card, or does the ice card just have to be picked by anybody?
No, you have to. If I were to lay the ice ring around your pawn, you have to pick the ice card. I can't.
Okay.
So, yeah. So now you're kind of trapped there, and it's, you know, it can be, it, the game is actually can actually be quicker, or it can take longer depending on the ice, you know, the ice pawn there, because if you have an ice pawn that's just not moving, you better hope that you get that ice card. And so it's a, you know, it's challenging. It's more exciting in otherwise repetitive game, obviously. Sorry was one of those real easy type games. Kids, you know, could learn it pretty fast. But it's a 2-4 player game, and it probably takes about 45 minutes, I'd say, to complete the game, depending on if you have a geek mom like me that likes to take pictures during games. So that could, you know, take you a little bit longer. But but the game was originally manufactured by Parker Brothers, but it is now by Hasbro. So if you want to read more about Sorry, Fire and Ice, or if you want to read more about the Ghostbusters board game, you can visit thegeekparent.com and find out how you can purchase them or join in on the conversations, because I know we have a couple of comments about the board games on how certain rules work, because some of the rules were a little incomplete, so people had some questions there. So if you want to go head on over to thegeekparent.com, and you can join in on the conversation or get yourself a new board game to play with the kids while you're inside away from the winter. What's that from? Do you know what that's from?
Well, it's from Bond.
Oh, my gosh. You are just total geek.
You don't know, when you're talking about having to pick the cards, the correct ice cards, I was sitting here thinking, you got to pull your best Yu-Gi-Oh out and just have faith in the cards.
You know what? I think you'd be a pain in the butt to play a board game with. Yeah, we'll have to try one of those board games with you, Josh. So, yeah, that was our James Bond. That was our new tech discoveries section, and Josh is going to tell us a little bit more about a new tech discovery that he has found for us, which I think is absolutely awesome.
I do, too. Through my scourings of the interwebs, I ran across a company called the product is actually, I guess, called Immersis, and what it is it's a projection-style VR. It goes, and it looks like something straight out of Pixar or some sci-fi movie, and it takes a video game, and you would put it behind you, and it displays the video game up on your wall in, at this point in time, 180-degree view. And as you move around, it kind of really immerses you in it. It's not, I guess, what I would call true VR quite yet, because you can't go up to something and kind of look around it. But it does portray it up on the wall, and it looks like to be a very cool new use of VR that has a lot of possibilities.
It's called Immersis. Is that
Immersis?
Immersis. Okay. And it's just looking at this thing. If you are into video games, you're one of those geek parents that play video games, and we're talking, you know, it can be video games from the high tech Mass Effect, it can be from World of Warcraft, it can be, you know, any type of video games.
Minecraft.
Minecraft's a great example as well, because there's a huge following of Minecraft. And it's just, the world's design is just absolutely wonderful. But imagine sitting in your room and you have this technology where it kind of fills the room almost with you know, what the frontal views and the side views of the game you're playing. And it's, you're right there in it. And I think a lot of the gamers, they used to have a lot of the multi-monitors when they played, especially with FPS, or the, you know, the car racing games. They would stick three or four monitors up on their desks. And, right, Josh? You see some of these things?
I used to have a few monitors around my desk.
So you were one of those gamer geeks, huh?
I will neither confirm nor deny that I may have had three monitors and a iPad at one point in time around my desk.
Oh my goodness! That's pretty techie. Yeah, that's and it's funny because you hear these stories about people who bot mode. They play four or five different characters in their games, and it's the same person, but they have them on separate different monitors, or they have one big monitor that kind of panoramic view of the game. But this, it's almost like having that, but a trillion times better, because it takes the room, right? Doesn't it take the room and kind of make the room into
like, it? It'd be like sitting in a movie theater with a screen in front of you and on either side of you.
See, that's amazing. And now, the great thing, I know for some of our audience listeners who maybe don't do gaming, they're not into the video games like that, and that's fine too. But if you're into pictures, you take photographs. This Tech Discovery takes the pictures as a panoramic view too. Am I correct, Josh?
It's supposed to, from what I have seen, it will take whatever picture or video, and it has a program that kind of changes it into this 3D-ish view. So yes, you could take pictures. That NASA photo that was just released, it's like the largest photo ever, where you can continually scroll in, that would be phenomenal with this.
Oh, man. You know, and I think about this because this is the way technology is moving. And these are the type of video games your kids and your kids' kids are going to be playing. And they're going to be – and, you know, you hear those horror stories about how kids are so into their video games that they lock themselves in their room, or they're completely antisocial now and they're beyond moving away from – they're just not there anymore because they are so immersed with this stuff. But again, it has everything to do with you as a parent. And this is myself speaking, and I'm sure I speak for you on this on behalf as well, Josh, having six kids and me having three of my own that are into technology, in both of us being into technology, that it really is, no matter how immersive you get, it's all about communicating with your kid. So if you have something like this, or you're playing a video game, or you're doing your photographs, the whole point is to get involved with your kids. Sit down with them. Try a video game. It's not going to hurt you to sit down and try a video game. Maybe you're not into violence. Okay, then FPS might not be your thing. Then try something else that has a little less gore. And you can, you'll have to listen on later on in a couple of months when we talk about ESRB ratings and in what's supposed to be the breakdown for kids and the, I guess, perspective of the way movies are rated. There's a rating for video games as well. But if you would just take the time and spend it with your kids, play with the video games, don't be afraid to try technology, don't be afraid to learn about these new innovations, then this type of technology won't be so scary when it does come out and it's a part of your kids' or your kids' kids, your grandkids' life, because this is the way it's going, and this is the way that it's not going to be anything held back. It's a great innovation, and it's great for imagination and creativity, and I'll tell you what, it works wonders for storytelling. Can you imagine sharing your photos with your grandkids and in during certain times in your life, you had all these photos, and it's in, like, this room, like this immersive invention, and you can take them to those places, literally take them back to these places and show them, you know, here's the car that I used to have, and this is the house where I used to live, and this, now we're walking down. I mean, you can do that with Google Earth as it is right now sometimes, but something like this is going to be even more. And Josh, thanks so much for sharing this, because this is an absolutely amazing, amazing innovation, and I hope a lot of people do check this out. It'll be on our website as well at thegeekparent.com. It's called Immersis, and it's by Catopsis. I can't really say it. It's Catopsis.
Catopsis. I'm not quite sure.
I know. That's right. So, again, that's, if you want to find out a little bit more about the new tech discovery that we were talking about, and kind of give us your opinions about what you think, even negative or positive, with this type of discovery, or what you would do with it as well, and how you think you would implement your lifestyle when this type of technology comes out as a standard in even hotel rooms later on down the line. Just let us know what you would. We'd like to hear what you have to say. But I love this Immersis. I think it's wonderful. And that actually concludes our show for this week. And today is the 19th, I believe. I'm kind of a little bit off. So, again, this is the Geek Parent Radio, and thank you for allowing us into your home or your office today.
And as always, keep updated with our discussions and upcoming guests from our website at www.thegeekparent.com. Also, be sure to like us on Facebook and Twitter, also accessible via our website.
Enjoy the rest of your week, and we look forward to talking with you again right here every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Until then, I'm Kat Mahoney.
And I'm Josh Hostetler.